Now we'll look at Psalms 100 again. This is all for just like a call to worship, but actually it's actually a call to sunshine. When I was thinking about this chapter, and God led me to this chapter, He's led me to this chapter multiple times in recent days, and it's like sunshine, sunshine for the soul. Years ago, I was in Allentown in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania area. I was at an airport, and in those days, I hadn't really flown all that much. I was pretty much new to flying, and I was getting ready to take off. The plane was on the ground there at the airport, and we were sitting there getting ready to take off. It was dismal. It was dark. It was dreary. It was raining, and it was one of those days where, you know, there was no sunshine. Until we took off. And when we took off, we went through those dark clouds. We got on the other side of those clouds. And the burst of pure whiteness above the darkness, when we got above it all, the brightness and the glory of the sunshine and the pure whiteness of what I saw, I'll never forget it. I'll never forget it. And that's the way God's kingdom is. In man's kingdoms, lots of darkness, lots of dreariness, and lots of disorder, lots of things not working properly. But I tell you, in God's kingdom, there's sunshine up there. Amen? There's sunshine up there. Things are in their proper order. Things are working in God, of God's kingdom. God's kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And of His kingdom, there will be no end. Man's kingdoms rise and fall, but God's kingdom's moving forward. Now, with that in mind, I'd like you to notice the word Lord here in Psalms 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. He actually mentions the name of God, Lord, here multiple times. Lord means you have the final say. You have the final authority. I'm so glad that in life we're not at the mercy of what man is doing, but God has the final word in everything that takes place. And I want to give praise to Him. I want to give praise to Him. He is a mighty, sovereign God who rules and overrules. That's why we can enter into His presence with joyfulness. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. And notice the next verse says, know ye. We're talking about the certainty. We're not talking about a question mark about the future, or the present, or the past. Oh God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come. God's a very present help in time of need. He's got it all covered. And it says with absolute certainty, don't waver in your faith. Don't put a question mark where God has put a period as to what He's up to. Amen? God's got a plan. He's working His plan. And none can stay His hand. And Psalm 76 says, surely the wrath of man will accomplish God's purposes and His plans to His praise. And if it's not accomplishing that, God says, I will restrain it. I will restrain it. And so, know ye that the Lord, He is God. Now, notice it is He who has made us and not we ourselves. And again, we're talking about the Creator God. And two times this week, in praying for two of my sons, I was praying, and I pray this way a lot with numerous people that I'm praying for. It's all based on Psalms 139. Psalms 139 talks about that when conception took place in the mother's womb, that God was supernaturally involved in what was going on. It wasn't just something natural happening. It talks about God's forming and shaping and preparing the person with the aptitudes and the interests and the capacities of what God's plan and God's purposes are for that person. And so I find myself praying based on the Creator God. Know ye not that it is He... It is He who hath made us and not we ourselves. And I find myself praying, especially for sons and daughters and children, that God would fulfill his plans and his purposes and his calling that he had in mind for the children when they were formed by him supernaturally in their mother's womb. The Bible says that God is the one who opens and shuts the womb. And by the way, what did he say to Jeremiah? He said, before I formed you. Remember that? Before I formed you in your mother's womb. Remember that verse? God says, I knew you. So God's got an eternal plan, an eternal purpose for your life. And the personality you have and the interests and capacities you have, don't ever compare yourself to somebody else and say, I wish I could be like them. Don't ever do it. God broke the mold when he made you. He made you exactly the way he wanted you to be for his purpose and his plan and his calling in your life. Give him thanks for the way he made you. Amen? And praise him for the way he made you. And let God, let the life of Christ shine through you. He is our shepherd. He is our shepherd. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he who hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. It's so encouraging to know that we have a shepherd. There's a verse in the New Testament. Pastors and spiritual leaders are under shepherds. But there is a great shepherd, the great shepherd. And it talks about in Hebrews, the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant equip you and equip me to be perfect in all the works he's called us to do in this life and in this journey. It's so wonderful to know we have a shepherd who gives us his direction, his protection, and his provision. And like I told somebody this week, don't get locked into your plans. Because the shepherd's plans and our plans are not always the same. The mind of man plans his way, but what does the Lord do? The Lord directs his steps. Always be flexible no matter which way you're going. Go to the best of the knowledge of what you feel the Lord's led you to, but always be prepared to be redirected. It's happened in my life many times. It actually happened in Paul's life. In his missionary journey, he tried to go north on his missionary journey, and it says the Holy Spirit forbid him. He tried to go south, and it says the Holy Spirit forbid him. So he kept going west until he got over there, and God gave him the Macedonia call, and he went all across the sea to where Philippi was, and over there in Macedonia, where Thessalonica was, and Corinth was, and all those churches came to be established and came into being because Paul was not self-will to keep going north or to keep going south when God wanted him to go west. But he was moving. He was moving, but he was letting God redirect him as he was moving. We have a great shepherd. A great shepherd. Life is not just neatly packaged. Life comes at you with lots of curves. Amen? Lots of curves. We need to stay in touch with our great shepherd. And then it says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. We're talking about the king's gates here. Psalms 100 is revealing to us who our God is. He's the creator. He's the shepherd. He's eternal. And now it's revealing to us he's the king. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. And if you haven't done this before, I encourage you to learn the names that God gives us about himself. I jotted down just a few. El Shaddai. El Shaddai. He is Almighty God. He's the God who is more than enough. Nothing's too hard for El Shaddai. Jehovah Jireh, he's the Lord who does what? The Lord who provides, Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Shalom, he's the Lord our peace. How many of us need that these days? He's shot Jehovah Shalom. It says, bless his name. Remember his name. Think about who he is. He's Jehovah Shalom. In God's presence, there's always fullness of joy. And in God's presence, there's always fullness of peace. Amen? Plenty to go around for everybody. Jehovah Tsidkenu, he's our righteousness. There's never a time, and it's right here in this psalm, there's never a time we pray and ask God for anything that we are ever worthy of it in our own righteousness. That's why he talks about God's mercy here. One place in the Bible it says that God's mercy is new to us how often? Every morning. But here it says God's mercy. What does it say about God's mercy here? It says God's mercy is everlasting. When we come to the throne of God, in Hebrews it says we come boldly to the throne of grace that we might find mercy to help in our time of need. So these names are, if you can, you know, memorize these names and pray these names back to God and look at the scriptures where his names are found, you'll be able to accomplish what he says here. Bless his name. Think about his names and all that it represents. The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And this is the primary reason why I went to this psalm. And I've had it on the sign for weeks about don't worry about God's truth being passed on to the next generation. It doesn't matter what days we are living in or what's going on in the kingdom of man, will God's truth endure to all generations? Will God make sure his truth endures to all generations? What does it tell us in Psalms 100? His truth, what does it do? It endures to all generations. There's no question mark about God's truth in the future and whether it's going to endure or not. God always has a remnant of true believers in every generation. Amen? And it's the work of God. And God is building his church. And as Jesus said, the gates of hell will not be able to prevail against it in any age, any time period. So let's begin our worship with gladness, thankfulness, and praise, and sing together.